Good evening, everyone. To open our meeting tonight, Sharon, can you please announce the first hymn?
Hymn number 213. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for time to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Hymn number 213.
If you would like to read along while the readings are given tonight, please go to our website, www.plainfieldcs.com. On our homepage, under weekly lesson sermons, under weekly lessons, Wednesday evening testimony meeting, and there you will find the text for the reading this evening. The theme of the reading is No Time, No Age. And now the readings will be given by Florence from Georgia.
Thank you. I am reading from King James Version of the Bible. Psalms. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Joshua. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. 2 Peter. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Luke. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. The angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. 2 Corinthians. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Proverbs. For by me thy day shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Job. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth. Thou shalt be as the morning. I will now read correlative passages from our textbook, Science and Health, We Keep the Scriptures and Miscellaneous Writings by Mary Baker Eddy. Life is without beginning and without end. Eternity, not time, expresses the thought of life, and time is no part of eternity. One ceases in proportion as the other is recognized. Time is finite. Eternity is forever infinite. Now, cried the apostle, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, meaning not that now men must prepare for a future world salvation or safety, but that now is the time in which to experience that salvation in spirit and in life. Now is the time for so-called material pains and material pleasures to pass away. For both are unreal because impossible in science. Mind creates no element nor symbol of discord and decay. Neither age nor accident can interfere with the senses of soul, and there are no other real senses. Year, a solar measurement of time, mortality, days for repentance. One day is with the Lord as a thousand years. 2 Peter 3:8. One moment of divine consciousness or the spiritual understanding of life and love is a foretaste of eternity. This exalted view, obtained and retained when the science of being is understood, would bridge over with life discerned spiritually the interval of death, and man would be in the full consciousness of his immortality and eternal harmony, where sin, sickness, and death are unknown. Time is a mortal thought, the divisor of which is the solar year. Eternity is God's measurement soul-filled years. Man in science is neither young nor old. He has neither birth nor death. He is not a beast, a vegetable, nor a migratory mind. He does not pass from matter to mind, from the mortal to the immortal, from evil to good, or from good to evil. Such admissions cast us headlong into darkness and dogma. The error of thinking that we are growing old and the benefits of destroying that illusion are illustrated in a sketch from the history of an Englishwoman published in the London medical magazine called The Lancet. Disappointed in love in her early years, she became insane and lost all account of time. Believing that she was still living in the same hour which parted her from her lover, taking no note of years, she stood daily before the window watching for her lover's coming. In this mental state, she remained young. Having no consciousness of time, she literally grew no older. Some American travelers saw her when she was 74 and supposed her to be a young woman. She had no care-lined face, no wrinkles, nor gray hair, but youth sat gently on cheek and brow. Asked to guess her age, those unacquainted with her history conjectured that she must be under 20. Years had not made her old, because she had taken no cognizance of passing time nor thought of herself as growing old. The bodily result of her belief that she was young manifested the influence of such a belief. She could not age while believing herself young, for the mental state governed the physical. Impossibilities never occur. One instance like the foregoing proves it possible to be young at 74, and the primary of that illustration makes it plain that decrepitude is not according to law, nor is it a necessity of nature, but an illusion. The measurement of life by solar years robs youth and gives ugliness to age. The radiant sun of virtue and truth coexists with being. Never record ages. Chronological data are no part of the vast forever. Timetables of birth and death are so many conspiracies against manhood and womanhood. Except for the error of measuring and limiting all that is good and beautiful, man would enjoy more than 70 years and still maintain his vigor, freshness, and promise. Man, governed by immortal mind, is always beautiful and grand. Each succeeding year unfolds wisdom, beauty, and holiness. Life is eternal. We should find this out and begin the demonstration thereof. Life and goodness are immortal. Let us then shape our views of existence into loveliness, freshness, and continuity, rather than into age and blight. A woman of 85 whom I knew had a return of sight. Another woman at 90 had new teeth, incisors, cuspids, bicuspids, and one molar. Custom, education, and fashion form the transient standards of mortals. Immortality, exempt from age or decay, has a glory of its own, the radiance of soul. Comeliness and grace are independent of matter. The recipe for beauty is to have less illusion and more soul, to retreat from the belief of pain or pleasure in the body into the unchanging calm and glorious freedom of spiritual harmony. The encumbering mortal molecules called man vanish as a dream, but man born of the great forever lives on, God crowned and blessed. Man is as perfect now and henceforth and forever as when the stars first sang together and creation joined in the grand of harmonious being.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and then follow by repeating together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Okay, Carol, can you please announce the next hymn?
Hymn number 320. Supreme in wisdom as in power, the Rock of Ages stands. Canst thou not search his word and trace the working of his hands? Hymn number 320.
Welcome to the Wednesday evening testimony meeting from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. All of our published events go out to the public by teleconference as well as by live streaming over the internet. And you can access the link over the internet from our website, plainfieldcs.com. Our website has a lot of wonderful material, and I'd like to invite everyone to browse through the entire website. Many have found our church through the website, many from all over the world, and we're grateful for each and every one of you. We conduct a church service every Sunday morning. It starts at 11 o'clock in the morning. And before our church service, at 10 a.m., we have our roundtable discussion. Also on Sundays at 11 a.m., we have a Sunday school for children. It goes out by teleconference, and it has its own conference number. Therefore, a child, regardless of where he or she lives, can attend our Sunday school. And if you have a child that's interested, please call the church, and we'll give you the phone number. Your child will be most welcome there. And we will be having another Bible study this Saturday at 10 a.m. in the morning. Check out our website for the Bible study questions. I'd like to point out that we have a new issue of Forum Highlights. It's been posted on the round table on the front page of our website on our carousel. And one more reminder, we will be having a meeting of the members tomorrow. It starts at 8 p.m. sharp. And if you're not going to be here in Plainfield, join us over the teleconference. And one more thing about our Unity Watch tomorrow, we will not be having the 9 p.m. Telephone call, because that will be just right after our membership meeting. But we will be having the 10 p.m. call in. So call in tomorrow, 5 minutes before 10, and join our Unity Watch. I will now read from the Church Manual by Mary Baker Eddy, the section entitled Testimonials. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Testimony in regard to the healing of the sick is highly important. More than a mere rehearsal of blessings, it scales the pinnacle of praise and illustrates the demonstration of Christ, who healeth all thy diseases. This testimony, however, shall not include a description of symptoms or of suffering, though the generic name of the disease may be indicated. And for everyone that gives a testimony tonight, please keep your remarks within 4 minutes so that everyone will have a chance to share their offering. And for those who are on the teleconference, when you're ready to give your testimony, please press **. That way we know that you're ready. And when we're ready here, we will call on each of you one by one by name. And now I'd like to open the meeting to the sharing of testimonies of healing through Christian Science. Jim from Arizona, go ahead.
Thank you. The healing power of Christian Science is ever with us, and how grateful we are for this. A year and 5 months ago, the medical field decided that I should be placed in a terminal hospice program. With daily support from a dedicated Christian Science practitioner from our church, I am most grateful to announce that this past week, they are terminating this program for me. I am no longer considered a terminal case. I am most grateful. Thank you.
And boy, are we grateful for you. Thank you. Jeremy.
I'm very grateful tonight for all that Christian Science has given me to find my place in God's creation. I grew up feeling very uncomfortable around people. We moved a lot when I was young, and I remember thinking when I was around 8 or 9 that there was just no use in me trying to make friends because we're just going to move again. And the few friends I ever had in school were from them sort of taking me in, and I never understood why they bothered. Once I was old enough to work, I felt more comfortable with fellow employees because we all had a role. But even in those scenarios, I always did my best to find solitary jobs, such as forklift operator, welder, or designer. In my personal life, the role of husband or father was very clear to me, but friendship never made sense. When I reached my real low point before coming to Plainfield, it was largely because the roles I had built my identity around had slipped. Instead of propping me up, they became anchors dragging me down. So when I first came here, I was grateful to have the roles given to me by the church, but I prayed a lot that God would show me how to live through a time if those roles were ever not here. So I am so grateful to say that God has answered those prayers through the teaching of Christian Science I am learning here. My dad came down this past weekend, and for the first time, I felt I knew how to talk to him. I used to conform to these ideas of what I was or what he should be, the very definition of malpractice. This time, I prayed to know that he is an idea of God and that I am as well. It turned out to be a wonderfully different time, and he left saying how happy he was to see how I had changed by being a member of this church. After the service on Sunday, I realized that my only true role is that of expression of God. There's nothing else I need to do, no other role or identity to assume. I just need to be the expression of truth, life, and love. That is something I can do anywhere with any of God's ideas. Can't really put into words how huge of a change this is for me. I feel brand new. I'm so grateful for this church, for every service and meeting and discussion, and for daily practitioner support. What an amazing opportunity it is to be here. Thank you. And I also have a testimony that Sherrydell from Pennsylvania sent in. Tonight, I would like to express my gratitude for the Bible studies that are held on Saturdays. I've been learning so much about the Bible and its spiritual meaning. Because of the teaching that goes with the discussion, there is new meaning where before I just saw a picture from the past. For instance, when Cain was downcast, when his offering to God was not acceptable, he was given direction from God. It appears that he wasn't listening, and then we have the results of disobedience. Mrs. Eddy based her entire life on the Bible, and Plainfield Church follows that example. And I am grateful. Thank you.
And thank you to both of you. Linda from Pennsylvania, go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for the readings, the hymns, and the music, and the testimony so far. Tonight, I want to say how grateful I am for the results of participating here at Plainfield of a growing understanding of how to turn my life over to the care of God, God who is all-loving, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. The forum found on the Plainfield website has been a great source of practical applications of our weekly Bible lesson published here also at Plainfield. This week there was a post about being unselfed, but not in a do-goody, human, willful way. This has been an important lesson and difficult one for me. By turning my life over to God, I have been able to begin to break patterns of do-goody behavior that I thought was unselfish, but was really self-worship, because it was about what I thought was best, my answer, my plan, my time, my outcomes, and that I thought were all needed. As I learn to truly let God be the center of who I am finding a greater peace and satisfaction in how I give my time, energy, and other resources. As another forum writer shared this week, God owns us, and our purpose and value to Him and to others is in glorifying, expressing Him. Thank you, Plainfield. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Pilar from New York, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I just want to express gratitude for the wonderful readings of this evening. Just before the service, I had called my parents in California. They are very much into the medical, and so immediately they started giving me a whole long list of all kinds of diseases and maladies that they're going through and the doctors they're seeing and what they're prescribing and so on and so forth. All this time I'm trying to keep my thoughts free from all what they were saying. And also another thing that these readings are so meaningful to me is because it talks about age. And my parents are of a generation that, or maybe not, I don't know, but that's who they are. They like to keep track of everyone's birthday. And every year they remind me how old I'm getting and, oh, you're so much years old now and your brother is this many years old now. And so they go on and on. So when I hung up, I felt a little bit shaken because I felt this is, well, this is an imposition. Why would they keep reminding me about how old I'm getting and so forth? So these readings tonight, they're so meaningful and they're so wonderful because they brought me back to think the right way about age, about anything that goes with age. And I am so grateful for these readings. And these are readings that I'm going to go back and reread and reread and enjoy for a long time. Thank you very much, and thank you that I had the opportunity to attend the live round table the past Sunday in the service. It was just so peaceful and so wonderful. I really, really enjoy it. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Mike from New York, go ahead.
Thank you very much for the wonderful service and the incredibly inspiring testimonies. I've been thinking back to my introduction to Christian Science. The friend that shared this great truth told me about one of her healings. She had been met with a couple of small accidents on their farm, which were healed through Christian Science. After slipping and falling on the barn floor one day, she said she got up and declared, "There are no accidents in God. I shall stand up, walk out of this situation in which nothing has happened." And that she did, and nothing had happened. Some months later, while skiing through trees and new snow, an unseen object knocked one of my skis off, slipping me in a full somersault over a drop-off well over head height, landing on my hip on a log, which knocked the wind out of me. Remembering my friend's testimony and not much else, I said the Lord's Prayer, declared I would go find my ski and ski out of the situation, and nothing had happened. That took a bit of work due to the terrain and snow depth, but I finally found my ski, put it on, skied down to where a friend was waiting for me, who asked if I was all right. I said yes, I lost the ski, and it took a bit of work to retrieve it. We skied down, and all was fine. The following morning, I poked and prodded my hip and couldn't even find a tender spot. This definitely resolved any doubts I may have had left that God exists, because I had never experienced such a thing in my life. I'm grateful for such a forgiving, omnipotent Mother, Father, God. I'm so grateful that Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy never gave up teaching God's principles in spite of all the doubters, like I myself was.
Thank you. Karen from Kansas, go ahead.
I want to express my gratitude for the testimonies given so far and all the for the beautiful readings. I want to express my gratitude for the wonderful round table last Sunday. The message was such a healing one. It was on mortals and immortals. It was brought out that we are immortal now, and to get rid of the Adam dream, that we have a perfect, indestructible body, but we have to handle the serpent by facing it. And then it will become a staff to lean on. I love the thought that all that will ever die is error. But we don't have to die to become immortal. Heaven is here now. We can become perfect now. There is no human time involved. We can get there fast or slow if we yield not to discouragement. The perfection is in God and not in the human. We need to express gratitude for all the good that we are experiencing now. Now is the time. God is teaching this class. Thanks be to God and this class.
Thank you. Craig.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the readings and the fact that feel more and more that that these readings are so much about each one of us. Years ago, and felt like I was looking in, but now I feel like we're looking out on everyone that it applies to. I wanted to give gratitude to for the lesson on soul and body. I felt like for years it was a mystery, and I felt like I was just really didn't know, but I wanted to know. And today it came to me how God is so incredibly kind. I don't know all about soul, but I know, I grasp that much, that in everything he does, in the end, there's some incredible kindness that can be seen, like the Indian saw the smile of the Great Spirit on the lake. I said, ha, that must just have been the after effect of great God's great kindness. Well, I can do that. I should do that in life. And so I've been trying to be incredibly kind, and it has felt good. And I don't feel discouraged. This has only been a day doing it, but it has really been a blessing through these lessons to get a better sense of how God is and how we are. Thank God for Mary Baker Eddy, who has put so much out there, and his church, for us to grasp and grow. Thank you for our church.
Thank you. Fairly from Maryland. Go ahead.
Thank you. I want to express my gratitude tonight for the watches that Plainfield has set up, watching for the world and our services. Since the mission of Christian Science, founded by Mrs. Eddy, is to heal the world, really. And I know she said that she prayed every day for the pacification of national difficulties, for the brotherhood of man, and the growth and establishment of true religion, Christ Christianity. And she said she had faith that her prayer availed, and that he who is overturning will overturn until he who's righted is shall reign. And I feel that these watches are very important to our mission as Christian Scientists. And so I'm very grateful for the leadership that's been provided in this respect, so that we have these Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night unity watches, and then we also have individual daily watch times that we choose. Right now I've been watching for prisoners and prison reform, watching for hunger and homelessness, knowing God's abundance, for the sick, knowing the failure of modern medicine and the greed involved in it, knowing the world is ready for Christian Science. And thank you for tonight's readings, for the promise of eternal renewal in the lovely readings tonight.
Thank you. Dede or Florence, go ahead.
This is Dede, thank you. I'm thankful for today's calendar quote found on the Plainfield website that says, "Grow more loving day by day, and because of your loving kindness, you are open to many blessings." Last night I began reading The Greatest Thing in the World by Henry Drummond. By reading just a few pages, the point became clear that nothing means anything without love in it or behind it, and that love is the greatest thing that I could ever have and that I could ever give. I'm grateful that I'm beginning to understand love more, that it's unselfed, unconditional, and impersonal through the teachings in this church, and mostly for learning the importance of asking God to help me to love more each day and not yielding to discouragement while working to do so. I've realized that loving more is the most valuable thing for me to strive for, and it's the greatest thing that I can ask for. I'm so thankful for all that I'm learning here, for all that's going on, and for tonight's readings and all the testimonies.
Thank you. Gary.
Christian Science is a rock. It is the only firm foundation that I have ever found. I know when I first came to this church many years ago, often with the help of a practitioner, I've been healed of many things. Health issues, flu, bursitis, Lyme disease, many other illnesses. I've had character traits helped. I've had business problems, family problems, all dealt with and helped through the practice of Christian Science. And with every one of these experiences, I have grown closer and felt a better closeness and understanding of who and what God is, as the source of all that is real, as the source of all that is good, and a better appreciation for the fact that there are divine laws that govern the universe that we can always count on. What a comfort! What a loving God! I'm so grateful for the help I've received from practitioners in this church, for Mary Baker Eddy, for giving us the science of Christianity. And I'm grateful for the readings tonight. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Lil.
I was remembering a wonderful healing of a rash on my face a while ago. I got practitioner help since it began to spread. I held my thought to the truths that were given to me by practitioner. One was, this is not from God, you don't have to have it. Also, there is no law operating but God and His good. And from Science and Health, when the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and His idea. And also, acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Keeping all these wonderful thoughts stayed on my thought, I just clung to them, and it was healed very, very quickly. I'm just so grateful for God's love and for the wonderful help of the practitioner. And thank you for those wonderful readings tonight.
Thank you. This is Bruce. I'm very thankful for our lesson sermons that we have the privilege of reading and studying them every day. And I had an experience earlier this week that helped me out quite a bit. When I was reading in our responsive reading where it says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And the thing that struck me most was, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. It didn't say it entered into your head, it entered into your heart. And after I read that, I just prayed God to give me that heart, that divine wisdom could touch it and guide it. And later on that day, I had to take something to the post office and mail it. And I like to use the machine that's there instead of waiting in line and using the counter because I can get in and out quickly. So the machine took my payment and gave me a receipt but failed to print out the postage from my envelope that I wanted to mail. So instead of getting upset or whatever, I looked at the long line that had 8 or 10 people in there. I just felt a sense of compassion for the whole thing that was going on here. So I told the two ladies that are working behind the counter what happened, and they heard me, even though they were serving other customers. And it was just at a time when a third person showed up, and one of them says, this lady will help you. And then there was another woman who was waiting in line, and she said, "The same thing happened to me." So we both went up there, and we were taken care of right away. And the thing that I learned from this experience was I just felt that it was the greater heart of love, God, who had the right answer for everything. And this was an expression of his love for his man. And I'm so thankful to God for our lessons. And every time that I learn a lesson, to get closer to God, because it's always proved to be very beneficial for me and many others as well. Carol.
Driving home from work last night, I was praying and asking God what I should give for a testimony tonight. And I pulled up next to a car at a traffic light. It was two lanes, and the fellow had his left signal on. And as soon as the light changed, he swerved over and toward my car. And it was definitely the power of God that saved my car, because I sat there looking at the guy's fender thinking, really? Thank you, God. There's no other way that could have been averted. I am so very grateful for God's protection, and grateful to have been taught here a long time ago that whenever you get behind the wheel of your car, know that God is behind the wheel of your car and of every vehicle on the road. And I know that that has blessed me and protected me so many times. And sometimes we don't even know, but God's protection is right there, and it's always taking care of us. I am just so very grateful to God and thankful for this meeting tonight. Thank you. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Florence from Georgia, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to share something I read this week that is so comforting and makes me so grateful for Mrs. Eddy and all that she went through and what she has written to help us along our way. She writes in the Red Book, page 80, she says, "I don't care what mortal sense has done. I don't care how it has beat me and whipped me and insulted me, wronged me and lied to me and tortured me. It is all past and it is a dream. I have found love at last. I can lie down in the Father's arms and be at peace. I love God supremely." This really touched my heart, because I know that so many things in the past, present, come to disturb us. Like even suggestions of age and all this try to disturb us. But to think what she has written, that all this is from mortal sense, it's not a part of what God is saying, and to really realize that right now are we all hid in Christ. We live in God, where we live, breathe, and move, like the Bible says. And it's just a wonderful way that she is really instructing us all to live, no matter what. I'm so grateful to be here tonight and to hear all these wonderful testimonies. Thank you.
Thank you. Sharon.
Recently, there was a report of an earthquake, and we were given a watch message to use. And it was by Herbert Hustis, and it said, "Mind makes its own adjustments of all pressure and substances harmoniously and perfectly." And that was, the earthquake was taken care of. And I thought about this statement, and there's so many medical beliefs now that are just lies. And this statement also handles them. About pressure, there's belief of high blood pressure. Well, that's not what God says. God adjusts all pressure, not just one thing, all pressure. And also substances, there's beliefs of lack of vitamins or whatever. No, that's also a lie of mortal mind. And it just says that all substances harmoniously and perfectly. I am so grateful for these watch messages because they can be used to annihilate all these false medical beliefs. And I'm just so grateful for practitioner help, for all the roundtables and Bible studies, and for the readings tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary.
I have an email to read tonight from Washington State. I mailed my completed application for church memberships today. I have felt very uplifted and supported in this decision. It has been a very long time since I felt the fellowship and community I have gained from the website, and particularly from the weekly Bible lessons. Please do not hesitate to contact me should you wish more biographical information. For me, Mrs. Eddy was the greatest radical thinker since the Master, and it is upon her revelation of Christian Science that I stand firm. I would be honored to join with you and support the expansion of the precious gift with which we are entrusted, as we all strive to demonstrate the infinite manifestation of infinite mind, love. Thank you, and God bless you. And we welcome you. Thank you. We're so glad you found us, and we would love to have you as a member. And then this from Virginia. Dear fellow members, enclosed is my monthly contribution, sent with many thanks for all the benefits of being part of this church family. Recently, in one of the daily emails received from the church, there was a link to see the video of Faith, Jared, Laura, Sammy, Craig, and Bruce performing There Is No Law of Sin and Death on YouTube. What a treat. It felt like being right there in church. So grateful for all the dedicated members reaching out with joy to the world. With many thanks. Yeah, for those who might not know, now we are filming the singing part of the service on YouTube, so you can watch it if you'd like. And then this is from the church website bulletin board, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Benjamin, for faithfully placing an inspiring message on our church sign each week, sending a blessing out into the neighborhood. Thank you, Jeremy, for putting a picture of the church sign on the home page for the world neighborhood to see. This week's message was just the healing thought I needed. I look forward to each new sign. And the message was, perfection, not failure, is our divine heritage. And again, Pennsylvania, I have to say how grateful I am for the Plainfield calendar. Not only do I receive daily encouragement, I have been sharing the quotes with members of my family and they thank me. I also tuck them into notes and letters. One friend told me that she had saved every single quote that I had sent to her. There were more, let's see. Marilyn, much gratitude to Plainfield for Sunday's roundtable, 5:15. These sessions are wonderful learning times. As was said, we sit at the feet of Jesus. And then, again, Virginia, very grateful for the questions which are put out on our Bible study each week. The resulting research really opens up the lessons in the Bible, truly enriches each lesson. Then the forum helps expand different meanings, and the forum highlights gives a wonderful overview and reminder of all that we are learning in each lesson and we can put into practice each day. Thank you to everyone who contributes. And thank you all for your bulletin board comments. I sometimes can't read all of them, but we're grateful for every single one. Tonight I would like to say, too, I'm very grateful for those readings tonight. The pages in Science and Health, I think they begin around 244 and go on for a few pages where Mrs. Eddy handles the beliefs of age. And it is wonderful. And as we've been taught here, we start handling that belief. It doesn't matter what your so-called human age is. It's a belief that needs to be handled and to be handled vigorously because it's not the truth about God's man. I've mentioned this before, but I thought it was timely, and there are probably some of you who haven't heard this, but as you know, we were given the Eustace Foundation and some of his boxes of various letters and things, and in one of those boxes there was an article from the Herald Tribune, the New York Herald Tribune, which was a very respected newspaper, and it was from the year 1948. And I believe the article was called "That Time Is Not Toxic." But it spoke about a group of medical specialists and surgeons who had been researching the process of aging. They came to the conclusion that anyone experiencing a lack of vigor or any other disorder due to age was suffering from what they termed, quote, time neurosis, end quote. The report stated that every human tissue is endowed with potential immortality, and there really was no good reason for anyone to get old and decrepit. Anyone who was experiencing such symptoms had submitted to the prevalent superstition that time in some way poisons the system and causes one to grow old. Now that was medical research. Mrs. Eddy was so far ahead of her time. And of course, have we read about this article since then? No, I don't ever remember seeing it except in this old 1948 Herald Tribune article. But as we heard tonight, Mrs. Eddy has says, decrepitude is not according to law, nor is it a necessity of nature, but an illusion. And this is what this article is saying. You're suffering from superstition. I thought it was just so wonderful. And it is the truth. And why don't we experience it? Because of our beliefs. We believe we're getting old. We're thinking about it. We see it marching around in front of us all the time. And so, as a Christian Scientist, it is something always to be handling and knowing that God made his creation ageless, diseaseless, and deathless. I'm so grateful for Mrs. Eddy and what she's given us in her wonderful textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. I'm so grateful to be here tonight to hear all the wonderful testimonies and readings. Thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, Lil, can you please announce the last hymn?
Hymn number 247. O walk with God along the road, your strength he will renew. Wait on the everlasting God, and he will walk with you. Hymn number 247.